Speaking of stories here on Juno Afternoon, my guest now is storyteller Brett Dillingham. He's going to be telling stories this Saturday at the Goldtown Theater starting at 2:30. And this is a fundraiser for Gastineau Elementary School. Brett Dillingham, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Okay, I think a few of our listeners are going to recognize your voice. If not, Brett, how many years have you been telling stories?
Ooh, well, like most of us, since I could talk, you know, since all of us, really. But I've been doing it professionally since 1990, so that'd be 28 years.
Wow, 28 years, 1990. Take us back before that, like you said, since we can talk, we start telling stories. Was there a person in your family that was a storyteller, or how did you get attracted to the art?
That's a great question. My parents told stories, you know. My dad told stories that were, you know, nonfiction, real stories, stories of family, history, events. And my mom told those stories and stories, like tales, okay? And then I had grandparents on my mother's side who did the same. So I probably had a bit more rich than most children's upbringing when it regards to stories.
Where did these happen? Were they at the dinner table? Were they after
yes.
dinner? Were they
yes.
everywhere?
They were. And my mom tucked me in every night. She did my brothers and my sister and I, but every night until I was 12 or 13. And even then sometimes she would. And she'd sing. Or she would, she had songs that go way back, hundreds of years. Or she'd tell stories. And then as I got older, she'd be asking me about my days and my stories and so on. So there was a lot of conversation too. And that was really rich. The storytelling itself, as far as a storyteller, I have to admit, I didn't like the moniker. I remember seeing a poster for a storyteller coming to UAS back in 88, 89, and I thought, storyteller? Who would bill themselves as a storyteller? You know, I said to myself in a foul, arrogant way, I think. But that's what I felt, like, that's a storyteller. And then I did a storytelling music thing at the Folk Fest with Mark Whitman and Clay Good, and it was a storytelling with music, soundscape, and I didn't really think of it as such, but that's what it was. And then Mark Whitman got me into storytelling, and just kind of took off from there.
What do your stories, you're saying your dad had this variety, your mom had a variety, what do your stories tend to focus on?
Well, I'm not pigeonholed in that respect. There are people who I tell Irish stories, I tell Japanese stories, I tell West Africans, on and on and on. But I tell stories that speak to me in some way, some deep way, some visceral way. And the stories that I write are everything from almost completely autobiographical to very fanciful.
Speaking of the autobiographical ones, what might be an example of one that you've written? Is it about something in your life, I'm imagining?
Well, there's a few of them. And one of them I'll be telling on Saturday. That one's called Raven Day. And what I've not spoken about but is a very important part of this Saturday is that Libby Stringer, who is a very accomplished musician, will be accompanying me. On half of the stories, we've had rehearsals, and she's really blown my mind. I've heard her play once before, but now I've seen her go through the process of creating a soundscape for a story, and I'm really blown away by her. And I wasn't at first. Our first rehearsal, I was, she'd saw on her violin/fiddle, and just do some notes, and I was thinking, that's not quite what I meant, but I don't know if that fits the story, but But now I realize she was just so accomplished. It's almost like she was playing with me. Like she was the master and I the student. Anyway, so where was I? Stories.
Well, it sounds
Saturday.
Like fun. Mixed
music,
media,
stories,
music and
autobiographical.
Stories.
Autobiographical.
Yeah,
Raven Day.
Thinking of a story like Raven Day, you said earlier that stories need to speak to you viscerally or inside.
Yes.
Is it because they often have some sort of takeaway or a theme that resonates with you or something that you're trying to communicate to your listeners as well?
Yes. Yes, just like that. And it can be along any lines. It can be along humor. It can be pathos. It can be stories of respect, of love and caring, of darkness to avoid, whatever, as long as it speaks deeply to me. And many of them I do feel in my body. And when I tell stories, I use my body a lot. I move a lot. And I engage in sound effects as well. And I get rather caught up. The story's happening right there live.
Yeah. Let's get back to the art of storytelling here in a second. Let's shift to Gastineau Elementary for a second. What's your connection with that school and what do they need money for?
Well, it's a school that I've done contracts or storytelling with, grants, et cetera, for almost 30 years. I've always liked it. I like the population that attends it. It's always been mixed, and I like mixes. I always have. I grew up and went to an elementary school that was highly mixed, and it was very advantageous for many ways. So I love Gastineau, and currently I believe they have a very strong staff, very good leadership with the principal. And my youngest son, Landry, is a fifth grader there.
Huh.
So I had gotten some, I don't know, something in the mail or something about their PTO. And I thought, I'm on the board of the charter school where my other child goes, but I'd really like to do something for Gastineau as well. And so I talked to one of their PTO movers and shakers and said, what could I do? Could I tell stories? Can I raise some money? And it turned out, yes, yes, yes. So, and the PTO uses money for a variety of things, but all good, all good.
That is the voice of Brett Dillingham. He's talking about a fundraiser storytelling event he's doing at the Goldtown Theater this Saturday at 2:30. We're going to take a quick break right here and we'll be back with Brett.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today, in for Shelley Delaney. Our guest is Brett Dillingham. He's giving a storytelling event this Saturday at 2:30 at the Gold Town Theater. Brett Dillingham, as a professional storyteller, I suspect you've studied the art. Where does storytelling come from?
Well, it appears that human beings have been around about 300,000 years. That's the latest estimate. It's a little more. That's what the archaeologists and anthropologists have agreed upon now. And throughout that, our history, we have always received information in terms of story. We process it in terms of story, and we transmit it in terms of story. That has been it for human beings up until rather recently when we had print. We got print, right? And then – but even with print and with radio and TV and digitized, really everything has been in terms of story. And this – you know, you can look back on our record, whether you're looking at paintings and cave walls, which we have some evidence from a young Bushman – in the Kalahari, that these are stories. That's what they are, and that's what they've told people who've asked. But the neuroscientists have been studying storytelling now for about 8 or 10 years, and they've been doing it with fMRIs. And you probably are familiar with an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging. fMRI is functional, which means you can watch what's going on as it happens. You don't look at a dead picture later on. You can watch it. And what they are saying in research articles and chapters and books, et cetera, is that humans are a storytelling creature, that our brains, just like I'd said before about processing in terms of story, transmitting and receiving, that's what we do. That's really it. So basically humans were this carbon-based unit and we're stories, walking, talking stories. And even people who don't talk for some reason, a mute or a deaf mute or what have you, we all do story all the time. And we've done it since we came out of the womb and we started to get all sorts of stimuli, audio, visual, tactile, and then we start making sense of the world in terms of story.
Do you happen to have a short story you can share with us?
Yes, of course I do. Yeah, I do.
I'll put you on the spot.
Real short one. Let me see. Perhaps The Hungry Crow. Once upon a time, there was a crow. She was hungry and looking for food. But there wasn't any food about. The only thing she saw was a garbage can. So the crow flew down to the garbage can. And she tried to get the lid off. But she wasn't strong enough. When she looked around, she saw a bear. So the crow flew over to the bear.
Hey, bear!
What?
There's food over there.
Where?
Over there.
The bear saw the garbage can, walked over, and knocked that lid right off. Bang! And then the bear started to eat. And eat. And eat. And the crow got worried the bear would eat all the food. So she flew down and pecked him right in his eye. The bear ran away. And then the crow began to eat. And eat. And eat. And then the crow said, I'm fat enough. And she flew away. The end.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Thinking about Saturday, it's 2:30 at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, your storytelling event. Who should come? What ages?
I had put on the advertisement 3 to 103, and thinking about it, I should have mentioned said 4, because ages of 3, most of them will sit there and listen and it all work out. Once in a while, there's a particularly squirrely 3-year-old that won't, but that's okay. But yes, the stories will be for basically all ages. The one I just told is the simplest type, and I won't tell any quite that simple. But I will do that. I will try my best to do it in such an engaging way and with enough humor and, again, with pathos and everything else that all adults will come, whether they have children or not, and enjoy it as well.
Going back to the origins of storytelling 300,000 years ago, time immemorial,
yes,
some say. It was our basic form of education and
yes,
socialization.
Yes.
Do we need more of
absolutely
that these days?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. There's a book called Story Proof that was written in, I don't know, 2005 to 7, somewhere in there, Kendall Haven. He had been asked by NASA to help scientists communicate through story because they weren't communicating in ways that more lay people could understand. And the director of this program said, well, how do you know storytelling's any better? And so Kendall Haven read over 300 research articles having to do with storytelling, and every single one said that storytelling is a very positive way to communicate. There was nothing negative in it. All the educational research that's been done on it has said the same thing. But, you know, it's something we can't test. It's something – well, we can test it, but it's not an easy test. You can't make circles on a paper. And because we can't test it, we don't do much of it, which is really sad because it is the foundation for everything educational. It's a foundation for all literacy. Storytelling is speaking and listening, right? And speaking and listening is the foundation for reading and writing. And, of course, reading and writing is the foundation for everything we do in school and education. So you want to start at the foundation? It's storytelling.
Can you give us the details on Saturday again, please?
You bet. 2:30 p.m., Gold Town Nickelodeon, downtown. There'll be wonderful food available. It's a fundraiser. Libby Stringer will be playing a soundscape for half of the stories. She's absolutely wonderful, and we aims to have a good time.
And how much money should people bring to participate in this?
Oh, of course, whatever they feel, whatever they can. If they've nothing, they've nothing. If they go, you know what, I think throwing a 20 or a 50 at this school, it'll make me feel good and I can do it, then please do.
Brett, where can we find you online?
I do have a website. It's brettdillingham.com. I haven't updated it for quite a while, but it's got my basic information.
Otherwise, we'll see you this Saturday at the Gold Town Theater at 2:30. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your stories with us.
It's a sincere pleasure, Scott. Thank you.